Golf is a game of moments. And what I mean by that is that I have hit so many bad shots in the 10 plus years since I've learned to swing a golf club. Yet when I think back on memorable moments I've had, they're almost always that miracle shot that everyone in the group thought was impossible to pull off, or that drive that was piped down the center of the fairway, or the 30-foot putt that dropped for a birdie. And okay, yes, maybe a shot or two that was so bad that it made the rest of the round go completely off the rails. But I even look back at those moments with fondness, just for a laugh or two. But a moment I'll remember forever. I had hit my drive out to the right and it was nestled in the rough. I was about 160 out from the green, and I was blocked out by an entire row of trees that was guarding the right side of the fairway. My options were to either punch directly back to the fairway sideways and hope to get up and down, or to hit over the leafy wall in front of me. Well, nobody tells a story about the time he punched back safely to the fairway. I pulled out my 7-iron and lined up directly with the green. I knew I had to get all of it. If I hit it short, I'd be lost in the tree somewhere, and that would be a whole different mess. I took a breath, started my backswing, and swung full through the ball. It sailed like it had taken off from Cape Canaveral. The line was good, but the distance was better. It landed right on the green, took one hop, and stopped about 5 feet from the pin. In the heat of the moment, tensions can rise, angers can flare, and frustration can mount when we're not meeting our own expectations. But it's these moments that keep us coming back to the game that we love. I'll let you decide if I made the putt or not. Spoiler alert, I missed it. This is For the Record.
Golf, the hardest game we love to play. These are the ramblings of three nerdy golfers.
Our continuing mission? Explore strange new swing techniques to seek out lower handicaps and awesome golf courses.
And to boldly swing where a safe layup would have been the smarter choice.
All right, welcome to another episode of For the Record. We're so excited to have you join us today. We have an exciting episode planned. As with the entire off season, we're only doing monthly episodes, and so if you've missed us while we were away, we're so sorry. But
I missed us while we were away.
It has been a while since we recorded, and there's a lot to talk about. We're going to talk a little bit about our work in The Sims so far this year. We've got a nice talk nerdy to me later. We're also going to talk about our workout training, so a little bit of accountability going on today.
We're going to pump you up.
And we're going to talk about some destinations, and then we will finally end with a birdie, Bev. So,
well, let's start with our non-golf golf update, because, you know, they tell me that it's winter out there, but there sure is not a lot of moisture.
It's cold, though. It is very cold.
It is pretty cold.
I would like to note that in the entire time that we've had our off season, our home course has been closed 2 days. 2 days.
Well, I don't
guess how many times I've been up there to golf it. Zero.
Because they close way early.
Well, yeah, it's cold, man. It's cold.
And
it's cold.
Yeah. We just can't get out there till season actually breaks. Daylight savings is really the saver for us.
It really is.
That's why we're so adamant about daylight savings.
And that's kind of the beginning of the golf season for us as well.
Beginning of the end.
Yes.
But let's talk a little bit about, you know, the sim. A couple episodes ago, we kind of gave a layout of how we built the sim and everything. And Eric, you had asked, what are some improvements we need to make? What's the next iteration of the sim?
I think, I don't know if you've noticed the new Refsoto Square. Have you seen it at CES? It is a huge improvement on the current iteration. You don't need a special golf ball. It works really well. It's slightly more expensive. It's $1,400.
It's slightly more expensive, about three times more than what we paid for ours.
Yeah.
But it has a whole bunch of radar and it has all the technology. So it is what I was seeing. People are like, they're comparing it to the up, like the Bushnells, the upper echelon.
Oh, wow.
And they're like, it blows everything else out of the water.
Is it subscription-based? Because I know that...
They have a subscription, but you don't have to use it. Okay. It works with Awesome Golf out of the gate.
Most of them do now, which is nice.
Because our friend of the show, Parker, that's been on a few times, he ended up getting an aftermarket golf sim for his shed. And he's tied into one of those pro subscriptions to really get use out of it. And that's just unfortunate.
And we'll see how long he lasts with that.
Well, I have to say, on the note from the sim, I would love to upgrade it at some point. I think that would be
good. Yeah, I don't think this year.
So the upgrade is the sim itself. Like, well,
the monitor.
The monitor, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the next logical upgrade for us.
Okay.
I'll tell you one... I want to talk a little bit about the work we've been doing in the sim, though, very quickly, because I think we've done some good swing work in the sim, but we did enact the play three holes with a caddy, and then the next guy plays three holes, and I feel like we can play a lot more golf out there in a lot less time, and I feel like you can get into a groove, and I've really enjoyed doing that. What I would love to see us do more of is just some like mini games. We need to do some mini games. Like we did a long drive mini game one day. That was really fun. But I think we should do some like wedge distance mini games.
Like the one where you're trying to eat the city or like, whatever?
Well, something like that, or even a thing like, even a thing where somebody calls out a distance and you try and get it, you know, like closest to 120.
Closest to the pin.
Closest to 50, closest to 45. You know, somebody calls a yardage and we all try to hit it. I think that would be a fun game to play because we're doing some good work on our full swings. But the truth is a full swing inside is never going to be the same as a full swing outside.
Yeah.
Because it does things to your brain being inside a building.
Well, and mine specifically because we have in our garage, I have, you know, my garage door opener. It has rails that it runs on. So we have the sim set up in between the rails, but the rails are kind of close. So you're worried that your backswing is going to, especially with the driver, that you're going to hit that. We've
never hit it.
We've never hit it.
Nobody's ever hit it, but the fear is real.
Well, and we put some of the like the pool noodles on it just in case, but we've never hit it. But it's always in your mind.
Yeah.
And it's hard to do a good follow through with it.
When you pay many hundreds of dollars for a stick, you'd like that stick to remain in one piece.
That is true.
It's true.
So I think driver is where it is. I think you can do more useful work with irons.
Yeah.
Driver's really going to be the Achilles heel every time. And
so last week you had some car trouble, John Paul.
I know.
And Eric and I still decided to sim it up without you.
Mm-hmm.
And we...
Not jealous at all.
Yeah, I know. We did a par three course. It's weird. It was like a par 53 or something.
It's an executive course.
It was an executive, but it had a
I wouldn't call it an executive because it had a single par four and a single par five.
Some executives are
and
built
there,
like that.
And then there was 16 par threes.
Yeah, that's an but executive course.
My point being, neither of us pulled out the driver the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
We just played a stroke match since it was just us two, and it was neck and neck the entire time.
Yep.
And it was fun, but I think it was also very useful because we had to use a variety of irons in the game.
It's true.
I think that I would love to get in on that. And
We're not doing it again.
I've actually thought about it too, like going back to the idea of driver. I would like, I think that the sim work spent on driver is the most wasted work. Because your driver swing's just going to look different outside. You're never going to go full send with a driver in a garage.
It's
however,
true.
I mean, I've got a hold of a couple of them so far this winter, and with our equipment and the way it goes, my max distance is about 220 yards, but I can hit my 3-wood off of a tee about 210, and it just isn't worth the extra distance. And the 3-wood isn't as scary to hit.
And you hit more than 220 out on the course.
We all hit way further than that out on the course.
I will say though, with the driver, there are some benefits like being able to adjust your grip and try things out without losing a ball.
Yeah.
Cody, like you were playing around with some of your grip and your follow through. John Paul had you run through some different scenarios. And I feel like that's where it's helpful, where we're able to have that time not on the course.
We don't get to do that on the course.
No.
And we don't get to like the driving range long enough. And we don't have, golf instructors. You know, we're those golfers that try to get better without actually golf instruction. It's a terrible idea. Don't do it. Get a coach. But yeah, that is not in the cards for us right now. And I got to say, though, what we went through a couple of weeks ago, John Paul, like, my iron game has improved dramatically.
Excellent.
But
I'll tell you what, if you would like to pay me for a golf lesson,
I'll do it.
I'll take that money.
Are you affiliated? Are you registered as an authorized PGA coach?
I am. You do know what? I work in the field of public education, and so I am so well versed in people who think they know how to do something that have no formal training in it, because people are constantly coming in my office telling me how everyone in my building should do their job, but none of them have ever taught or done anything like that. I feel like I'm that way as a golf coach. I can see what's wrong with your swing. I can't swing a golf club myself to save my life, but I can see what people are doing wrong.
Can I tell you that that's probably not a problem that's only in your field of work?
I can only imagine.
But one of the things we talked about in the sim as well is having not only the goals, the different games and specific skills, but also when we're out on the course and we get up and down, we say like we took down the Green Warden, right? We took him down a notch. We haven't come up with any ideas like that in the sim, but a couple of weeks ago, Eric, you know, got out from the bunker and landed like a foot from the hole.
Well, and you hold out for the first time ever in the sim.
Yeah, it can be done. We did not think it was possible, but I managed to chip in a 20-footer for a birdie.
Okay, so I love this idea. Let's brainstorm really quickly. Let's see if we can come up with 5 ideas of things that you can do in the sim. I think a hole out is one, and yours doesn't count because we didn't have the
goal. What?
Yep, because we didn't have the goal yet.
Oh my gosh.
But I think that one is like...
It's unlikely. That's what I'm saying, but it would be so cool.
You
got to
get something for it, though.
You do. There's got to be some great reward for getting these.
Out of the bunker, I think in the red circle.
Up and down in the red circle out of a bunker, I think that's necessary. I think a 250-yard drive.
That's 3.
On the range. None of us have hit that. No, you've hit it once. I think you've done it once, but not this year. You did it last year.
What about...
I had a 232. That's the furthest one I've hit this year.
One that is slightly more possible that we have done, but not terribly often, red circle from over 100 yards out.
Oh, that's very doable. We do that on par threes all the time.
I think you did it once out of the last 4 times we've played.
Well, that's true. So it's doable. I think that's a reasonable goal.
It's doable, but it's still something to celebrate when it's done.
Yeah. Mm. What else?
A successful return to play out of the OB area.
Oh gosh, that's so unpredictable.
They are terrible with like, oh, there's a random bush that
hit a ball out of the rough further than 12 yards.
Yes.
Yeah. Eric is just bitter because as we were playing last week, we were like tied like the whole time. He hit it into some flowers and then he couldn't get it out.
I'll share a funny story about this from last week because on Sunday, I think it was, I had the blues because I hadn't swung a golf club and my week was truly horrible. And so I went down and I played Pebble Beach on my Oculus, which is really bad for your golf game. It's only good for your mind.
It's for entertainment.
It's for entertainment. It's like playing on the fun.
Wii. Yeah.
And I played Pebble Beach and I was on the, I'm counting backwards, the fourth hole.
Trying to walk through
it goes
brain.
Along the beach. The beach is on your right, and it's the one where the fairway
slides towards the beach.
Where
you landed on the left side of the fairway and still rolled out into the ocean?
And still rolled out into the ocean. Okay. So I did exactly the same thing. I didn't even block it right. It landed in the center of the fairway. It proceeded to roll down onto the beach, and it makes you play from the beach. You can't take a drop. In real life, you could say that's unplayable, take your penalty, drop the ball, where it goes out and go from there. But on that game, it makes you play from the beach. So you're hitting out of the sand and there is no club in your bag that gives you a trajectory high enough to get up the cliff. So you're literally dead.
Like you a 52 or a 58?
A 58 full flop hits the side of the cliff and rolls back down to the exact same spot on the beach. I had to turn it off. There was nothing I could do. I was completely stuck. There was no getting out of that. And you can't like re-aim, like or go back or do mulligan. There's nothing. I had to turn it off and restart it or quit and go back in.
No serenity now moment. Serenity now.
Well,
it was just a really,
later,
it was a really great excuse to replay 1, 2, and 3, which are beautiful holes. So
you rage quit Pebble Beach, huh?
I didn't rage quit. I turned it off calmly and went back to 1 and started over. And then when I got to the 4th hole again, I aimed it so far left that the homes 2 holes over were probably in danger.
Okay. Well, I like the sim to me is just a way to keep our golf muscle memory going, because the last thing we want to do is stop playing in October and then come late March. What's a golf club? You know, like what do I do? It's supposed to try and just, so everything that we're talking about is kind of bonus in my eyes.
Yeah. That's my biggest fear with putting.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that's what happened this last year. I got on and was like, how do you putt again? And I finally figured it out at the end of the season. I was like, next year, I just need to spend like a week every day putting.
And our avid listeners might remember that I came up with 3 practical things that we could do to maintain our putting games over the winter. And we are 0-for-3 on any of us trying any of those 3 practical suggestions because we're awesome.
We have a lot going on.
I putt in my office all of the time.
Yeah, we're going to see how that translates when we get out there.
Probably
the first
not
time.
At all. It's to pass time when you're on boring meetings. Mm. I'm just kidding, boss. That might be listening.
He does listen.
It's time for Talk Nerdy to Me.
Over to you, John Paul. This was yours.
Yeah, I am excited about this one. So I'm a huge Trekkie. And if I lose listener, you know, interest on parts of this, I understand, because when I say I'm a huge Trekkie, I've seen it all and I've seen most of it multiple times. Like I'm so deep into the Trekkie that I've actually watched the animated series multiple times.
It's a good series.
When Spock reaches out with his mind, it's lovely stuff. Anyway, I was thinking about if you could assemble your dream starship. I'd imagine that you're serving on a starship, but not as a bridge crew, that you're just some lower decks guy on a starship, but you get to put together your dream crew. So you can pull people from any series, from any era, from any ship, and you're going to put them together and you're going to create your dream bridge crew. Who do you take? Who are the people that you want? Your favorite Star Trek characters.
So you are the extreme Trekkie here.
Yes.
I know that Eric is quite a big fan.
Oh, yeah.
I am the...
I think I've watched every single series.
I am the fair weather Trekkie fan. Like, I like Star Trek. I grew up watching Next Generation. I've seen, you know, most of the movies, and I like Star Trek, but I would not put me in, like, the diehard, hardcore territory.
Okay.
So I'm really curious how different we're going to be here.
I think that there's going to be a lot of variability. I'll bet we share a few people. I'll bet there's a few people. It'll be interesting though, because you're not limited to any position. You could put anybody in any position regardless of rank and take anybody you want anywhere.
Think about that.
Okay? I kept mine mostly within their realm of expertise.
Yes.
Yeah, so that was a choice.
Now, before we get going, I'm going to define bridge crew, because technically there are some people that we're going to talk about that are not on the bridge, but
we
would still consider
them.
So here we go. Your bridge crew is going to include a captain. You're going to have a first officer. You're going to have a science officer. You're going to have ops. You're going to have a helmsman who steers the ship. You're going to have a communications officer. You're going to have a tactical. Now that's just for extra. If you want to combine anybody, you can. Next gen, there was only one communication/tactical, but
yep.
I like having them different. And then the chief engineer, who's rarely
on the bridge. Not on the bridge, but...
But critical member of the crew.
Oh, yeah.
Also chief medical officer, crucial member, rarely on the bridge. But we're going to do that as well. And then if you want to throw anybody optional in there, like a counselor or something like that, you're welcome to do that. Okay?
Okay.
Do we want to go around by and do each one individually? Or do we go down somebody's entire list? What do you think?
It might... My attention span likes to put things in categories.
Okay.
So it was like, let's talk about all the captains and then let's talk about the first officers. I don't know. That's how my brain would receive it.
I love it. Let's start with captains. Eric, who's your captain?
Jean-Luc.
Yeah.
Post Enterprise A.
Oh. So you mean like in movies, Jean-Luc? Like
no,
on the
before.
Oh.
So that span between he is lots of experience now, but he's not. The movie Picard, I feel like, is a little strange.
First Contact was good.
Okay, I'll go. But Nemesis.
Yeah.
No.
Insurrection.
They both like that movie. I hate. I mean,
hate's a strong word.
Do you know what though?
Perhaps today is a good day to die. You can only
really be hurt by something you truly love.
It's true. I don't love that one, but I don't hate it as much as you do. Yeah. Okay, Cody.
I also did Picard.
Okay, well, that's an interesting take. I'm going to tell you now.
An interesting take. The best captain of all time is an interesting take.
And Jean-Luc Picard is my favorite captain. I'm going to be clear before I give my answer because it's not Jean-Luc, but I do want to be clear that he is my favorite captain and always will be.
I was this close to choosing someone else, but I just love Jean-Luc.
Mine's a hot take. You ready? I'm taking Will Riker.
I thought you might do that.
Yeah.
I don't love Will.
I love Captain Will because he's just got so much. He's trained by Jean-Luc, so he's got that level of restraint. But there's also some little Kirk mischief in there. So he's a nice blending of those two, and I like him. He's a good captain. Who was your runner-up?
Strange New Worlds.
Oh, Pike?
Pike, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Pike's a good.
He is good.
Okay. The original Philippa Giorgio would have been a good one, too.
Yeah, that's true.
She would have been a good captain.
I almost did Janeway just to piss you off.
I don't mind Janeway. She doesn't bother me.
I know, probably not her specifically, but I know.
She's a very blah captain.
I know you don't care about Voyager.
Who'd be your last?
Do we want to go down that rabbit hole?
Just one quick. For Captain, the rest of them, no. But
I don't even know his name. Whoever the captain that Scott Bakula played in Enterprise, that dude is out.
For me, it's the captain of, I can't think of, Sisko, Deep Space Nine.
DS9. Really?
A lot of people, that's their fave.
I hate him.
Oh. Wow.
Because He is not a good captain. He abandons his people all the time to go do these spiritual quests, and like
it's true.
So the movie can happen.
I do have to say though, with him, people give Next Generation a really hard time because the first two seasons really are almost unwatchable, and the third season is really where it got its stride, and fourth and fifth season are money in that show. DS9. It is a slog until halfway through season three. It's actually a good show, but you have to slog through a whole bunch of really, really bad episodes.
It's kind of like Star Wars Clone Wars. It takes a minute to get going, but once you're invested, it's life-changing. Mm-hmm. So maybe not DS9 is not like that, but I was going to say my worst, and this is my hot take, would be Data.
Oh, as a captain?
As a captain.
Oh, as a captain?
You know why?
Because he is a captain on one of them.
Well, but I'm just saying, like...
He's too logical.
Every single episode is the captain going against Federation.
I almost picked Data, too.
But that's what I mean. Like, every single story, every episode is about,
we're
not following Federation orders.
All right. Let's get back to the list. Let's get to first officer. So this is your number one.
You start us off on this one.
I am going with Saru.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
From Discovery. I think he would temper Will Riker in a nice way. I feel like Riker and Saru on the bridge is a pretty darn good combo.
I picked Spock.
I also picked Spock.
Oh, nice.
Very nice.
All right.
Okay. Science officer.
I guess I'll go. Cody can start.
I picked Tuvok.
Oh,
from Voyager.
Mm-hmm. Good old Tuvok. Very nice. Yep.
I like the idea of a pure Klingon because he's not half. He is pure Klingon.
Vulcan.
He's Vulcan, not
nerd card.
Hand it over.
I self-admitted that I am not full Trekkie here.
No, you're good.
You're right. Sorry. Full Vulcan. He's not like a half-seas because we've had half-seas before.
Right. And you never know which way half-seas are going to swing.
Yeah. And I just like the idea of, he would be dedicated to science for sure.
Yeah.
I did Paul Stamets. Stamets?
Stamets.
Stamets, yeah, from Discovery.
Stamets.
I really liked him.
Now, question though, could you have Spock and Tuvok on the same bridge?
I wouldn't have.
That's an interesting take.
They'll have to figure
too,
it out.
They're too logical.
Have to be very logical about it. Yeah. I took Spock as my science officer.
Okay, I can see that.
So I didn't want him in first officer chair. I'd rather have Saru.
Which version of Spock? Because I know that you would differentiate.
That's such a hard question. I will tell you that in my heart of hearts and in my mind of minds, when I think of Spock, I'm still thinking of Leonard Nimoy.
That's fair.
And Wrath of Khan, Leonard Nimoy.
Oh, yeah.
That's my best Leonard Nimoy. So when I think Spock, that's my default. I'm going to tell you that the guy who they've got playing him in Strange New Worlds.
He's so good.
Like, I'd take either one of them. Okay. They're interchangeable to me. But no. Wrath of Khan, Spock, classic Nimoy. That's where I'm going.
All right.
Ops.
Data.
That's where I put Data.
Okay. Data's running
it's
ops.
It's a good choice.
He's never getting promoted. Poor Data. He's going to be an ops for the rest. Doesn't matter how many times he saves Starfleet single-handedly, he's still going to do ops.
He's perfect for it.
Yes. He's the perfect operations officer. No one better. All right. Who's steering your ship? Who you got at the helm? Go ahead, Eric.
I have Sulu.
Yeah. Sulu's a strong choice.
I picked Geordi.
Geordi LaForge.
He was not
the
always
ship.
In engineering. He's been at the helm a couple of times.
Yeah.
I think he'd do a great job.
He'd be great. I believe he steers the Enterprise in the pilot episode. Is that correct?
Yeah. Plus, his visor is just so freaking cool.
It is cool. That hair comb just looks amazing on his head. Like,
if you're ever feeling down about yourself, he'll give you some good books to read.
He will. But don't go to him for love advice because he's the most tragically irromantic person. Do you know what, though? They never come out and say it, but based on the name, I think he ended up with Dr. Brahms. I think
they ended up hitting it off.
I think his daughter in Picard is actually Brahms's. I think it's their kid.
That's fun. I like that idea.
Yeah. Okay. I've got Erica Ortega.
Oh, okay.
From Strange New Worlds.
Yeah.
I like her as a pilot. I'm Erica and I steer the ship.
Is she the mech, half mech?
No. She's the Hispanic helmsman.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Love her. She's so good. All right. Who have you got for communications?
I have Uhura.
Same. If I have Spock, I have Uhura.
Oh, really?
Are you taking Strange New Worlds Uhura, or are you going classic?
I'm actually going...
Are you going Kelvin Universe Uhura?
Into Darkness.
Into Darkness. Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah. The Abrams.
Yeah.
Abrams movies.
Abrams.
That's
Uhura.
The Kelvin timeline. Yeah. Okay. Hey, that's not a bad pick.
I did it specifically because of Spock. I was like, if I'm having Spock, I'm having Uhura. I'm not separating those two.
You guys might not even know who this is. I'm taking Kashan. Kashan is from Lower Decks.
Oh.
He is the guy who's got the knife in here, and he speaks entirely in allegories. He's one of the species from Darmok.
Oh,
Darmok.
He's the first.
Oh, I love that.
He's the first one of those guys to make it into Starfleet, and he is a gas. I would love to have him on my bridge, man, just for the laughs.
Oh, it'd be so hard though. He's communications.
He knows English. He's figured it out. But sometimes when he's like mad or something, he swears, and it like. Eric, when he stubbed his toe.
Nice. I like it. All right. What else do we have? Medical?
No, we were going to do tactical for next tactical.
Okay.
Who is your tactical officer?
I have Worf, also post Enterprise A.
I have Worf.
Worf's a good tactical officer. Mine is also part Klingon, but this is one you probably don't know. Yeah. I'm taking Laura Thok. She is unbelievable. And for our listeners who have no idea who I'm talking about, there's a brand new Star Trek series. It's very...
What's it called?
It's called Starfleet Academy.
Okay, Academy.
I call it Star Trek 90210. Or the fresh Prince of Starfleet. Kind of has that vibe.
Sitcom vibe?
Very much.
For Star Trek? That's
very
weird.
Much. It's all college kids, and that's what it is. It's about the intrigue of college kids and crushes and loves and rivalries and all that stuff. And it's so beautifully done, but it's very divisive. Like half of everybody hates it and half of everybody loves it. I'm on team, I'm reserving judgment, but so far I'm quite impressed. And the ship is beautiful. Oh my gosh, the ship is so cool. I won't spoil
it. I want to go to college in space.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I'd go back to school.
So watch it.
I could go back to school.
I'm still waiting for my Hogwarts letter.
Thok is half Klingon and half... is not Tal Shiar, that's Romulan. It's they were a bad guy for a while. They're a really nasty one, but she's hysterical. She is so funny, but she's funny in a really kick butt Klingon kind of way. And some of the lines that she has are just amazing. I'll play a tidbit afterwards. She had one of my favorite Star Trek lines of all time during this last one. She's coming in because there's a rivalry going on between the two schools. She comes into the captain's office and she's like, "They've done it." And she's like, "What have they done?" "They've shenaned." And she's like, "What?" "And they'll shenan again." I was like, that is a great line.
That is the cheesiest thing I've ever heard.
It's fantastic. It's so good.
I'm with Eric. I'm giving a head shake to that.
No, it's so good. She delivers it better than I do. But she's...
They'll shenan again. Wow.
She is by far the best thing about that show so far. She's amazing.
And we got two more left, right?
Yes, we do. We're to your chief engineer.
Chief engineer.
Go Cody.
I picked Scotty.
Scotty.
I love it. That's a good pick. I love that Geordi didn't get any ships.
I was going to do Geordi, but I Scotty.
Mine's really obscure. I'm taking Jet Reno.
I don't know who that is.
She was briefly the head engineer on Discovery.
Mm, okay.
She's very cool. You'd like her.
All right. Medical?
Medical officer.
The doctor. From Voyager.
You're taking the doctor?
I did the doctor.
I would like, you should know that the doctor is the chief medical officer on Starfleet Academy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They brought him back.
So I mean, he can bring him back.
And he does a beautiful
times.
Job. He's fantastic.
Yeah. Who did you pick?
I took Dr. Umbega, who was on the original series, and he's the chief medical officer on Strange New Worlds.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Joseph Umbega.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Those are some pretty good lists.
Yeah.
I like them.
It's funny how similar
Did you have any optionals?
So my list didn't, that was my full list.
Okay.
But I do have something else to share. But if you have any optionals, go.
My optional was Beverly Crusher just as a plus one for Picard.
Oh, okay.
Just to hang on his arm.
Well,
I
mean, they did a lot of stuff together. So
yeah. I'm having a ship's counselor.
Who did you pick?
Guinan.
Oh, Guinan. Okay. Yeah.
Guinan would be a fun ship's counselor.
That'd be fair.
Yeah.
So, in addition to this list, I asked ChatGPT who would be on their bridge crew.
Oh my. I'm interested to hear this.
Of gathering all the different lists. They picked Jean-Luc Picard. Why? They said that he was a master diplomat, ethical leader, and exceptional crisis commander.
And he didn't sleep with everything that moved.
It's true.
Yeah. So, no arguments there.
First
officer.
Yes, he was down for anything.
First officer, they picked Spock.
Yeah.
Logical counterbalance to Picard, elite science and command experience. Tactical was Worf. Most experienced tactical officer in Starfleet, proven in war and exploration.
Yeah.
Their science officer was...
Oh, wait. Can I break in, though? If you haven't seen the last season of Picard season 3... Mm. Picard season 3, Worf is peak Worf. That's
is
the
it?
Best version
really?
Of Worf.
Yeah,
oh,
he's
by
so
far.
Good.
So
he's
I,
so good.
I watched first season of Picard with my wife, and we got to the end, and we're like, eh.
So the first season was interesting, but they were trying to make it fresh and new.
Yeah.
And then they decided to go completely off-script for the second season, and it's not good.
So I actually saw a little demographic someone made about Picard, and it's like, why are there so many mixed reviews on this show?
Yeah.
And it showed the individual episode ratings.
Mm-hmm.
And season one was like mid, season two was red, and then season three was like is green, one of the best series that's ever been made.
And season three Picard, really basically their strategy was, okay, we tried to do something new and fresh and everyone hated it. So we're going to lean into nostalgia and give everybody what they've always wanted to see.
Yeah.
And guess what it is? It's everything I always wanted to see. And it's hugely
it's
satisfying.
So I need to make it through is what you're telling me.
Oh yeah. You skip the rest of it.
Oh, just go
start
straight to season
episode three.
I know enough that.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. ChatGPT's science officer was Data. Superior analytic capability, rapid multi-system processing, adaptive learning. Their operations officer was Harry Kim.
Oh. From Discovery.
Who never got promoted.
Yeah. Excellent systems coordinator.
Such a jerk move on Starfleet's. I mean, that dude
Their helmsman was Tom Paris.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you know what I could never get past with Tom Paris? Is that Tom Paris has an illegitimate twin brother. We'll call him that because he played the Wesley Crusher's like captain. The same actor played him. And the guy who crashed the shuttles and caused all that problem. And they brought the same actor back to be Tom Paris. And in my mind, I could never separate the two of them. So I was like, he's a jerk. And I know he's not a jerk. It's a different character. But when you bring the same actor back, it just ruins it for me.
Yeah. Communications, they picked Uhura.
Yeah.
And for their chief engineer, they did Geordi. They did not pick a medical officer or any of the optionals. But
I'm shocked nobody picked Bones.
Oh, Bones is a good pick.
I like Bones.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
Very fun.
That's good. That I feel like I know more about Star Trek than I let on.
Okay. So now I have a challenge for us for perhaps a future episode of the podcast so that we can think about it. And maybe our listeners would like to chime in on this. If you'd like to tell us who your dream bridge crew would be, we'd love to hear that. But if you could assemble a dream Star Trek bridge crew comprised of science fiction characters that are not in Star Trek.
Okay, so it's the same layout, but everybody is not in Star Trek.
Everybody's not in Star Trek. So you still need a captain. You still need a helmsman. Like you could go get Han Solo to be your helmsman, right?
You know who I'm having run the computer on the ship? Instead of like, you know, computer, do this or whatever.
HAL 9000?
No, I was going to say the improbability computer from...
from the Heart of Gold?
No.
The ship is called the Heart of Gold from Hitchhiker's Guide.
Yeah, from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
So, Captain, I have...
Oh, no, hold him. I want to do this in a future episode.
Oh, but I've got some good ones.
Give me a teaser, though. Give us a teaser.
The original, the OG Dumbledore.
Oh.
Oh. Okay.
As Dumbledore?
Yeah, Dumbledore's like, captain.
Dumbledore is captain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then...
Do you know why we went to your Romulan ship, Captain? It was love.
It was love.
Helmsman? Joker.
Oh my gosh. What? Okay, we're gonna have to
like Batman Joker or Persona Joker. Oh,
Mass Effect Joker.
Oh, no.
Seth Green Joker.
I know who my helmsman
is. Okay.
He is the ultimate helmsman.
Do you know who my helmsman is? No, the ultimate helmsman? Wash.
I'm gonna leave on the wind. That is
the wind.
I don't know. Joker.
Let's say it's a ship that requires two and they can be co-pilots. They would get along really well.
Oh, they would. Yeah.
Anyway, save those thoughts, write them down. We'll do a future episode.
Okay.
Non-Star Trek bridge crew.
Well, let's get back to a little bit of the off-season and talk about our exercise goals. And we can hit this fairly quickly. We laid out a challenge for ourselves where, you know, not only do we want to swing a golf club regularly in the golf sim in the off season, we're not walking as much because we're not, you know, getting out to the golf course, and we don't want to just, you know, completely stay out of shape or,
you know,
we don't want to be worse than we're at now, right? The idea is to improve. So we set up a challenge to, you know, X number of minutes of exercise equals a certain number of points per week, and we get to add those up, and at the end of the season... Or I think we gave ourselves the kickoff of the Masters as kind of our deadline.
Mm-hmm.
We would total the points and see what our average was. Were we below average, average, or above average? And that's going to determine our golf trip for the year.
Yeah. Okay.
So check-in time.
Yeah.
Because I can tell you where I'm at.
Go ahead. You start us off. How are you doing?
So I think that I had 1 week where I was average. And then the other couple of weeks, I'm in the green. And I still have a couple workouts scheduled left for this week that'll put me back in the green because I think I'm currently in yellow.
No, you're currently in red.
Oh, in red? Okay.
Right now.
But that's fine because where we're at in the week, I still have a couple other days and I have them scheduled out.
Now, that's just minutes. So this is a goal for habit building, but also for some outcomes. So just give us a brief idea. What kinds of things have you been doing for your minutes? And is it having a positive effect?
Yeah. So there's really three main things that I've been doing. One, I have like a circuit that I do in my office and I have like elastic bands that tie on the wall. And that's where I do kind of like my resistance lumberjacks.
When you say a circuit, you mean like a the pedal machine.
No, no, he's talking about he goes in a circle around his office.
It means like there's an exercise that I do for a certain number of reps.
He's a tiny track. Okay. Move to no, he has a tiny track. It's 3 feet wide.
I run like I'm on conference calls and I'm doing this.
He pretends that he's from the duck, 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 duck,
with the loop, you go back and do it again.
Okay.
So I have that as one of my workouts. And then we also have, I've booted up my VR.
Okay.
And I've been doing some of the expert mode Beat Saber.
Oh, that's a good workout.
That'll get your cardio up.
Yeah. The other day when I did it, I like took my headset off and it was just dripping with sweat. And I was like, oh gosh, this is terrible.
I have a leather face mask for that exact reason that I can wipe
down. You just wipe it off really clean and nice and easy.
Hmm.
And then just like, you know, walking and getting out and doing kind of exercise that way. Those are my three main I've been doing.
Yeah.
But unrelated, because it's not really minutes that we track.
Yeah.
I have been extra conscious of my diet.
Okay. No, and that's fair.
And that's also helped tremendously.
Good. Glad to hear it. I have been doing very well. I'm in the green so far. So I've exceeded expectations every week so far, including this week. And it's because I want to do a nice golf trip. I'm not going to be the one that keeps us from doing that because I'm the one with the craziest schedule. And like, things were not good for me this week. And Tuesday came and Tuesday's my workout day. And I'm going to tell you guys that, you know, that I care about you a great deal and I don't want this bad because I worked out on Tuesday and I didn't want to. I wanted nothing more than to just go to bed and get some rest. But
wake up the next day, forget it all.
But what I've been doing is, I break it. It's about an hour workout. Sometimes it's a little bit more and sometimes it's a little bit less. But I spent 20 minutes of it doing yoga and flexibility. I sent you one of the videos that I do for yoga, which is a yoga for golfers. I don't know if either one of you have tried that yet.
Just a little bit.
It's a really interesting program. So if you get time to go through the whole thing, what it taught me about myself, and she talks about this in the video, is that golfers create asymmetrical bodies because of the way the golf swing works. We create asymmetrical power.
Because it's a single swing direction.
It's a single swing direction. It's not bi-directional. And so as a result, you can get very unbalanced. And I always knew that that was the case. And I have some unbalanced issues because of the neck injury that I had atrophy on one side. My right side atrophied way more than my left side because it was injured much longer. And I am unbalanced, very unbalanced. And so that's been really nice physically. To go through. Physically unbalanced, yeah. Then I spend about 20 minutes doing weights. And I just have hand dumbbells and I do reps and do some various things. And the last exercise that I do after I've done yoga and the weights as a weight exercise is I'm using a dumbbell like a golf club to do increasingly strong swings. And that helps with flexibility through the back, but it's also causing a really powerful low point because that's the fastest point where the barbell's traveling. So I'll have to show you that one because I think it's really cool and it'll probably actually directly help my swing.
Do you feel like, because once a week, I know it's a longer workout, busy schedule, you're fairly active. I've seen your steps. You're yes. constantly going places. Do you feel like you're getting gains from this?
Yes. And that's what I was going to touch on is that I've only been at this like a month and I can tell a significant difference. And the way that I can tell the difference, obviously the exercises themselves become easier. I use the same exercises each week when I do my exercise routine. And so I can track progress by how difficult the exercises are. The third block that I do is a cardio one. And there's a guy and a girl who run that cardio video and he's doing the real exercise and she's doing the modified exercise. Week one, I did all modified exercises. I'm up to about 20% real exercises and 80% modified.
No, that's good.
And my goal is by the end of the off season, if I can get to 50-50, I will consider myself as having made great progress. But what's interesting is that when I just take little swings with my golf club in my garage, and I haven't had a chance to be on the sim recently, I feel so much more stable and so much more balanced. And it shouldn't be. It's a minimal amount of exercise. It's not that much that I'm doing, but it's made a notable difference.
Well, some is more than none, because like one of the exercises in my circuit is I've got a 10-pound like medicine ball, and I have to stand on one foot and hold my hands out and toss the ball back and forth in my hands while staying on one foot.
Oh yeah, that's tough.
And it hits your core.
Yeah.
Because you have to focus on that for all of your balance. And I can tell you, I balance way better on my right foot than my left foot.
Yep. Yeah.
What about you, Eric?
How's yours going?
Okay. Well, okay. It kind of depends how you want to measure it.
Well, okay.
So
tell us a little bit about what you do, and then tell us if you think it's making a difference.
So yes, it is making a difference, but I don't know if it's making a difference in the way that I was hoping or expecting it to.
Okay.
So I have been trying to be much more active. I work from home, and lately the air quality has been terrible, so I haven't been able to get out.
Yeah.
So instead, I have an exercise bike in my office. I ride that, and I do it. It's pretty strenuous, and I do it for 30 minutes or 10 miles, and it's like 400 calories burned, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do that every day. That's without fail. I've been doing two workouts with weights for 20 to 30 minutes. There has been an effect, but it's not the effect that you guys probably would have thought. I've been losing weight. So
yeah, but it's about gaining strength. It's not about gaining weight. It's
so
about gaining strength.
I've lost 5 pounds.
Oh gosh.
Since we started.
Yeah. And you know, you're so heavy. You definitely need to lose
some
weight.
So I think what's happening is I'm leaning up before bulking up. So that's what my hope is anyway.
Yeah.
So
do you feel more stable though? And that's the question. Do you feel any additional speed or that's good.
I feel well, okay. So I've changed a few things with my swing. I did one of the other workouts that I've done since the beginning of the year is I hit about 200 hits into the net a week.
Yeah.
And that has helped tremendously.
That is so many.
It is. It's a lot. John Paul can attest. We played we have those birdie balls that are like little PVC pipe sections. And we play a little game from my house to his and back. I have played much better this last time. I didn't have any that squirted out super far. We tied.
Yeah.
There was only one small hiccup, and that was with wind hit mine. But
and the reason why I ask is because of exactly that. We went and played, and I feel like I'm striking the ball pretty well right now. I mean, we'll find out for sure when the season starts, but I feel like I've been in a bit of a groove with the exercise I've been doing. I've got a nice kind of load up in my right torso that I'm feeling as I come through the ball. That's really a good feel. But I play that game with a pitching wedge and you play it with a 52-degree wedge. So there's a difference in the loft and you're hitting it further with your 52 than I'm hitting it with a pitching wedge. So
it is also a PVC pipe. So
I also would love to see, you know, we all have a different steepness in which we come down and hit the ball.
Yeah.
Because you hit way more shallow than I do. Like
and I have a ridiculous amount of forward shaft lean. So
and it's fine. I'm not saying one of us is doing it wrong than the other. I'm just saying they're very different. And so Eric's 52 is gonna go about what your pitching wedge because of the trajectory of the birdie ball thing.
Yeah,
right.
It might be. But needless to say, I'm excited. And before we get in, I'm going to make a prediction about this year, particularly looking at Eric's game. I don't know how to do. You guys have noticed this a little bit about me is that I'm sometimes not a competitive person.
You're a grumpy pants.
But sometimes I am.
I've
been thinking about this all winter and I've come to this conclusion. I hope this makes sense. I don't mind getting beat, but I hate losing. That sounds like the same thing, but it isn't, right?
Okay.
If I'm playing well and someone else is playing well and they win the day, I'm fine with that because I'm happy.
Okay.
If it's a pillow fight and one comes out on top, I don't care. But what I hate is when I play incredibly poorly. and I lose. That's different, right? When victory's in my grasp and I can't close it because of my own ineptitudes, and I feel like Cody and I have been a really good match for a long time as we've been playing, because on any given day, one of us could win, but it's a coin flip. I am really excited for the coming season, because I would imagine by the end of the coming season, that's going to be the three of us, because Eric can beat us every once in a while, but we have to be having a bad day and you have to be having a good day. I don't think that's going to be the case for too much longer. I think it's going to be any one of the three of us on any given day. And the competition doesn't drive, but my hope is that little bit of competition will result in better golf for all three of us. And that's what I'm hoping for.
And I completely understand what you mean, though, because Eric, you set a goal to beat me and John Paul straight up this past year, and you did it. But I remember telling you multiple times, I hope it's on a day when I play decent. Because I don't want you to beat me when I did really horrible, because then, you know, it's like, well, a chicken could have beat you. You know, you want to feel good about it. But I agree with John Paul.
I just had an image of a chicken walking up to the tee with an 8-iron. That is a good image. Cody having blocked his right into the trees and the chicken stands up, you know, to lay it up.
One of my goals this next season is to be, I don't know if you've noticed, but when we've been playing lately, I have been trying to be a much more like shut down and not, I've been trying to.
A little more focused.
Zen.
Yeah.
I have too many thoughts. I care too much about what's going on with the two of you, what's going on with you guys. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying not to care about you guys at all.
You tend to do better when me and John Paul are bickering off on the side and you're just left to your own.
So I hope you guys don't take this the wrong way, true. But this next season, I might not interact with you guys at all on the course.
Well, and it's fine. I mean, I want to have a good time.
I'm thinking Tiger.
Like, I'm putting my blinders on.
You golf better when. So sometimes when we drive in a cart, that's where you can really see that going, because I think you do best when you're the third guy in your own cart. And Cody and I are.
Yeah, I tend to. So around. I'm gonna be trying to do that more this season.
The one that I never end up in the cart by myself because I hate driving. I've noticed that. I hate driving a golf cart. I would so much rather be chauffeured around. And so it's very rare that you two end up in a cart together and I'm the third guy. So I don't know the dynamic, but I know when Cody and I are in the cart and you're alone, you golf better.
I do. And I watched the Chasing Scratch. Not Chasing Scratch. The Netflix series.
Full Swing.
And they talked about how Scottie Scheffler does that and how Tiger Woods does it. When they're in competition, they're zeroed in. And that's what I've been trying to do. Like nothing, it doesn't matter if I'm mishitting. I'm just playing my game.
If I was going for $2.5 million, I would shut both of you guys out too.
Yeah, I wouldn't listen to a darn thing you said.
Yeah, but this last season, I was everywhere because I was thinking about, there was just a million, every time I line up, there was just a million thoughts running through my head.
That and like, oh, like, is John Paul getting angry today, or is Cody doing okay? And I know that you've cared about that before.
Yep.
And then I've also thought about like the what are those called? The bunker beasts and stuff.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Mm-hmm. If I don't get this, then oh, that's frustrating.
Yeah, I'm getting further behind. So I'm shutting all of that out. It is, every hit is its own shot.
Yep.
I am focusing on just having a good time playing every time.
I think that's a great goal. Yeah. It's good for you to tell us that too, because then when you're zen and not saying anything, sometimes like
we're
when we
worried
golf,
about
we're,
you.
We're quite social. And so it's just kind of like, oh man, is Eric okay? But if you're happy in your own little world, that's fine too.
Between shots, I'll open back up. No, but like when great. I'm going up, I'm going to be a lot more.
It's silly focus. Because it's the easiest thing to say in golf, and you could give it as advice to the first to a person playing their first game of golf, and all of us know it. Almost none of us, all the way up to the pro level, are able to do it. That the key to golf is enjoying the act of hitting the ball and focusing on the shot that's ahead of you and nothing else. It's the easiest thing to say in the world. It's so freaking hard to do.
I can tell you, some of my favorite hits were not my own. That one that got off the building from yours.
Oh, my. Came the roof?
Yeah. Or Parker's that
was
went.
So mad.
I feel better now that I've met those people, because I felt bad that you hit their house. But now that I've met them, just hit it. again. They're just keep hitting that house. They're not pleasant people.
Or Parker, that on the first tee, he hit it out across the road,
oh, and
hit
then
the
back
net,
in.
And came back in.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
And we're just kind of like, oh, yeah, that's OB. And he's like, no, it's right there. And we're like, are you kidding me right now?
How is but that not OB?
To be fair, though, Eric, on the flip side of that, some of my favorite shots, like, there was one that you like, chipped and you, like, hit the flag. Yeah, and it just dropped, like, next to it. And we're like, what? You don't get to see that in person.
No, it was awesome.
It's great. No, yeah. I think that's a great goal coming up in the season. That'd so your great. Zen moment. And that's totally great.
Birdie Bev. Time for another Birdie Bev.
Where did we get this?
No idea.
Is this one of the ones that my brother sent us?
I don't know.
All right. This is it. What do we got?
This is a Dead World Premium Zombie Soda Root Beer Creeper.
Root beer creeper?
It's got
this
a picture of
this might not
like,
be a root beer. I don't know. It's a little weird.
It's got a picture of Guile from Street Fighter, but he's a zombie.
It's undead Guile.
It's purple.
It is undead Guile. It is kind of purple.
Yeah. Well, hope this is a root beer drink and not a purple soda.
But wow.
It is a not diet. It is regular soda, John
Paul. Will
just
you
the
check
up.
The ingredients and see if brains are on there near the top?
Maybe that's what
brains.
Blue number one is made from. I don't know. Oh, contains milk.
That's weird.
All right, let's crack
that's
into
very
this.
Weird.
I've never seen milk in a root beer. That's a... Hopefully it doesn't have any soap.
Huh.
I'm having a really hard time not letting the color influence my taste. I'm literally closing my eyes trying to do that, but it's such an important part of how we perceive
food. Hold it up to the light. You can see like the blue hint in it.
It's prismatic.
Regardless of color, I do have my score locked in.
I do too.
Same.
You've got yours, Eric?
Yeah.
All right. I'll kick us off. I gave it a 6.5.
I also gave it a 6.5.
Hey, all right.
I gave it a 5.
I gave it a 6.5 just because of the color.
I don't love it.
Mm-hmm.
Even like color aside, the taste, there's something about it. It's overly
almost,
sweet.
It's almost very grapey. There's like a fruity flavor in it.
Don't take another sip. Let it sit on your tongue. You're going to find out why I rate it as a 5. It doesn't age well on the tongue. It's got a really funky aftertaste. And I can't place it. It's just very...
I'm not getting that. I thought it was pretty smooth. I just don't love it. It's almost very strong. Not rooty, but like sugary strong.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is very sweet.
Yeah.
It's almost more like...
And it's got a weird funk to it.
I don't know, like a Shasta...
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what I'm picking up. So
it's
there's
a
like
kid's
some
soda.
There's some kind of almost fruity note in it, and it's off-putting.
It's don't diss pudding like that.
It's yeah, I wouldn't say it's off-putting. It's just kind of.
You know, pudding is my favorite food.
And I'll have a little bit more, but okay, that's fair ratings all around.
I love pudding. You know how much I love pudding. Pudding is one of my favorite things. When I was in the hospital, one of the worst things in the world. I had to spend a week in the hospital, and they would come and I would look forward to every day I would allow myself to have a pudding snack because of my diabetes. Mm-hmm. I found out right as they were discharging me that those pudding snacks were sugar-free.
Oh!
I could have eaten a billion of those suckers for free and I had one a day. And that I looked forward to literally had nothing better to do than to sit there and dream of my daily pudding and play golf holes in my head.
You were living below your privilege, man.
I so was. It's such a, such a failed, it's a missed opportunity for free pudding.
Well, that's it for this episode of For the Record. We're glad that you stuck around this far. And I do have a quick note. I've got some stickers of our logo and a couple versions of our logo. If you would like a sticker, we've got a contact form. You can fill it on our website. That's For the Record, foretherecord.com. And we'd love to send you a sticker. You know, give us an address. It can be a P.O. box, whatever. I'll throw you a sticker in the mail and get it sent your way.
And we would love to do a shout out. I would love to do a shout out for the most interesting bridge crew take. Star Trek bridge crew. We'll do the other one another time. But I'd like to know what people's bridge crew is.
Yeah. Send it our way.
I know that there's your some Trekkies are out there. Come on, give us your hits.
And if you're hating on my list, then tell me yours.
The truth is out there.
So I can hate on it.